Throw the best birthday party ever that your child will always talk about. Big Air Trampoline Park inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall can do just that. Award-winning birthday party packages start at just $300, and all birthday parties include pizza, drinks, a party room with a party host, grip socks, printed invitations, and all 40 attractions at Big Air Trampoline Park. It's a birthday party you and your kids will never forget. Book your party today. Big Air Columbus, where the fun never ends. Visit BigAirUSA.com/Columbus for details.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Tom and Curly Show. Tom Tangney here. John Curly away today, this time planned. So guess who's in the house with me? There's her music. Everyone, America's sweetheart, Sherry Hilliker.
Wow. How you doing, Sherry? You get nicer every day, Tom. Thank you for that. It's very sweet.
Well, every time I work with you, I'm more and more appreciative. So maybe it goes hand in hand. So we are standing by right now for a big press conference from King County Executive Dow Constantine, Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin, Jeff Duchin, the head of the King County Health Department. There's a big announcement coming down the pike that is has sort of been leaked. I heard Dory railing about it in his show earlier, that King County is about to require proof of vaccinations or some negative tests for outdoor and indoor events pretty soon, and we will be carrying that press conference live. To talk us up to that and into the context of this announcement, we have, of course, another favorite. Hello, Hannah. So we are expecting to break in at any moment now. I don't know if you have any inside sources how delayed they are, but it was roughly called for around 3 o'clock for the press conference to start. We will cut away when that happens. But until then, Hannah, I know you know a lot more than most of us, so why don't you give us a preview of what we're about to hear?
Sure, and it should be coming any minute. I see Dow Constantine at the podium, so I will
tell
you what he's about to say is that there will be an order mandating vaccination.
Hey, actually, it looks like they have started the press conference.
They've started,
Since the pandemic began more than a year and a half ago. In fact, earlier today, Public Health Seattle and King County had to provide guidance to our region's hospitals on how to plan for additional morgue capacity. COVID continues to adapt and become stronger, and so must we. The good news is we have effective tools now that we didn't have at the start of the pandemic, including safe vaccines that are free to anyone 12 or over. And because 85% of King County residents have received at least their first vaccine dose, among the highest of any major metropolitan region in the country, we're able to apply a verification policy that will keep people safe and keep businesses open. Today, I'm announcing a new local health order. It will require proof of an approved COVID-19 vaccine or a negative test to enter certain businesses and venues beginning on October 25th. Our public health officer, Dr. Jeff Duchin, will provide details in a moment, but this health order will apply to these main categories: outdoor, recreational, and entertainment events with 500 or more people. So that's including professional and college sports and concerts. Indoor, recreational, and entertainment establishments, regardless of size, including performing arts centers, movie theaters, gyms, and convention centers, and indoor restaurants and bars. We developed this policy after conducting extensive engagement with a wide range of experts and stakeholders and community leaders, and they helped us develop a plan that is based on science, that keeps businesses open, and that promotes an equitable recovery. I want to make one point clear. The reason we are able to apply an approach that achieves these multiple goals is because the vast majority of King County residents have gotten the vaccine. Otherwise, we could potentially be looking at having to go backward and having another lockdown. I want to thank everyone in King County who has been vaccinated already, and I encourage everyone else who is eligible to do the same. Your life and your health and the health of our community and our economy depend on it. And I want to thank our healthcare professionals and our public health employees for their tireless work over the course of more than a year and a half to keep us all safe. And that includes our own public health officer. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Jeff Duchin.
Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Duchin, Health Officer for Public Health Seattle and King County. The Delta variant has fundamentally changed the course of our COVID-19 outbreak and how we must respond to it. The virus is airborne, and it's wickedly contagious, more infectious than earlier variants. It spreads readily indoors, and when masks are not worn, causes serious illness and is not adequately controlled. Washington State is experiencing all-time high levels of COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations. In King County, we continue to experience high rates of community COVID-19 transmission, with hospitalizations at their highest levels since January, and deaths are increasing. COVID-19 case rates are highest in 18 to 49-year-olds, and unvaccinated people are at greatest risk, especially for severe illness. Last week, 154 King County residents were hospitalized on average with COVID-19. That's one person hospitalized every hour. One King County resident is currently dying from COVID-19 every 8 hours. Over the past 30 days in King County, compared to vaccinated people, unvaccinated were 7 times more likely to be diagnosed with COVID-19, 41 times more likely to be hospitalized, and 42 times more likely to die from COVID-19-related illness. Our regional healthcare system is under serious stress and overloaded from increasing hospitalizations and critically ill patients needing ventilators to breathe, including an increasing proportion of younger adults and pregnant women, some delivering their babies in the intensive care unit. No pregnant woman should have to deliver a baby prematurely while on a ventilator in the intensive care unit, and no child should have to start their life that way, because COVID-19 is preventable through vaccination, the single best option for protecting individuals and our community. I want to thank Dr. Chris Murray's team at the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, especially Dr. Ali Mokhtad, Dr. Bobby Reiner, and James Collins, who provided us with a report that models the projected course of the COVID-19 outbreak in King County over the next 6 months and estimates the impact of vaccine verification for entering restaurants, bars, and gyms on COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. I'll briefly summarize the results, and I very much appreciate that Dr. Murray is here today to answer questions about the report. It will also be available online. First of all, it's important to understand IHME projects our outbreak to worsen in the next 6 months. In the absence of vaccine verification, IHME projects that over the next 6 months, there will be 300,000 new infections in King County, 164 of which will be diagnosed and reported, compared with 145,000 total reported to date. And there will be approximately 8,000 new hospitalizations, compared with approximately 7,700 total to date. And there will be up to 1,000 or more additional deaths. The peak of the winter surge is expected to be mid to late December. Now, on the other hand, IHME concludes that vaccine verification in King County will prevent substantial numbers of infections, hospitalizations, and deaths. Over the next 6 months, IHME estimates that vaccine verification at restaurants, bars, and gyms alone could prevent between 17,900 and 75,900 infections, between 421 and 1,760 hospitalizations, between 63 and 257 deaths. That's preventing between 10 and 43 deaths on average each month from vaccine verification in restaurants, bars, and gyms alone. In the model's maximum effect scenario, vaccine verification could prevent up to 20% of infections, hospitalizations, and deaths. And it's important to note that the report does not include any health benefits of vaccine verification at entertainment venues or the large indoor or outdoor events where vaccine verification will also take place. And that's only due to constraints around the model, and that may be improved upon in further reports. It's also important for me to recognize that these estimates are based on the best currently available information and include a range of uncertainty, and they will be updated as new information becomes available about the epidemiology of the outbreak and the impact of mitigation measures. Now, clearly, our COVID-19 response must continue to adapt to the changing reality of the evolving pandemic. With Delta, the virus has gone on the offensive, requiring us to use layers of protection. Facing the reality of an unwanted, resurgent pandemic is difficult and unpleasant. I know you're all fed up with COVID-19 and the hardships that this pandemic has brought. I hear you. I'm feeling it as well. But if instead of taking stronger measures, we give in to fatigue and frustration, it's our own families, friends, and community members, particularly the most vulnerable, who will pay the cost, suffering unnecessary and preventable infections, hospitalizations, and deaths. And I know no one wants that. Most importantly, we need to pay attention to the number of serious infections and the resulting threat our hospitals are facing, and safeguard our healthcare system so you can get the care you need, including life-saving care when you need it and whatever you need it for, whether it's COVID-19, for a heart attack, a stroke, cancer care, or a serious accident. For these reasons, King County will require verification of full vaccination status or a negative test to enter outdoor public events of 500 or more people and indoor entertainment and recreational establishments and events such as live music, performing art, gyms, restaurants, and bars. These requirements will go into effect on October 25th for outdoor venues and the majority of the indoor establishments, and December 6th for restaurants with seating capacity of 12 or fewer who need extra time. And this gives people time to start their vaccination series or complete their vaccination series, and it gives venues time to prepare. Vaccination verification requirements will reduce the spread of COVID-19 in high-risk public settings, prevent COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths, and help stabilize the healthcare system and return patient loads to more manageable levels. It will make businesses and other public venues safer for customers and workers and our community. And by decreasing COVID-19 spread, it will also decrease the risk to our children. And this is especially important until vaccine becomes available for those 5 to 12 years of age, which should happen sometime this fall. Taking these steps to stop the spread of COVID-19 now should also help reduce the risk of potentially more disruptive measures being required in the coming months. I want to be clear that this order is not intended to be permanent. It will be reviewed periodically based on outbreak conditions and no later than 6 months after the October 25th implementation date to assess its continued need. But it will likely be needed until disease rates come down, hospitalizations are at a more manageable and stable level for our healthcare system, and more adults and children are vaccinated and protected from serious infections. Although the future course of the pandemic is uncertain, ultimately its impact on our lives will diminish, and we will live with this virus while limiting its impact on our health, our ability to do the activities we value, and on our schools, our businesses, and our economy. But COVID-19 is not going away soon, and we are entering what could be a very rough fall and winter with levels of transmission that are way too high right now. Along with wearing good quality, well-fitting face masks in public, improving indoor air through ventilation, filtration, and UV technology, through distancing and limiting high-risk activities, Vaccine verification will further reduce infections and hospitalizations, save lives, and help get us where we all want to be, sooner and more safely. I now welcome to the podium the Mayor of Seattle, Jenny Durkan.
You have been hearing about this new vaccine verification policy for King County, something that we've already seen rolling out in places like New York City, San Francisco, and British Columbia, Canada. So let's review this policy for you. It starts October 25th.
Okay, are we going to be hearing the mayor or not?
Well, it looks like our feed has transferred to something else. So, yeah, maybe we can hop in at this point. We'll try to hear what Jenny Durkan is saying a bit later.
Okay, very good. So let's just wrap up. I think we've cut Hannah loose. We'll revisit with her at the top of the 5 o'clock hour.
Actually, she did stick around for us, so if we want to ask her.
Oh, she did. Oh, even better. Okay, so Hannah, you want to quickly sort of summarize what we've done? We've got about, you know, it looks like 3 or 4 minutes here. I guess the most salient details.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a requirement that will kick in October 25th. It requires that everyone prove that they are fully vaccinated for all outdoor events with 500 or more people, and also several indoor businesses. This will cover museums, gyms, restaurants, bars, dance schools, pretty much anything but a grocery store and a couple of other types of businesses. And everyone will have to do this by October 25th or show a negative COVID test within 72 hours prior. Some places may also have instant tests that you could take right before you enter something that mm-hmm. would be acceptable as well. And this is because they say the Delta variant is there's a new IHME prediction out of the UW Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, the modeling folks, that's really, really concerning and showing that we could have 1,000 new deaths here just in our state
over the next 6 months.
Over the next 6 months.
That's
and
the high
like
end
hundreds
prediction.
Of thousands of new cases. And there's concern about our health care system that it's already at the brink right now. So that's the why and that's the what.
Okay. And then just to kind of summarize, because I heard Dory was talking a lot on his show about how unhappy he is with this. And the one thing I was struck by, because he didn't have some of the details, it doesn't sound like retail businesses are going to be hit up.
Right. Not the malls and things like that.
Yes.
Bars and restaurants.
Right. So it is a kind of it's a carve out of all the businesses. So it's not like, you go into, you know, wherever you regularly, you know, shop at, that would be a problem. So I think that should relieve some of the concern that, Dory may had. I'm sure you've
And there's
to
a
the
lot of support.
Of
I want to point this out. The Seattle Metro Chamber of Commerce signed onto this. This is something that most, I talked to several businesses and I'll share some of their comments at 5 with you, that are very much on board with this, really want this to happen because they think it's the only way that they can have stability and avoid a shutdown, like you just heard Jeff Duchin say, could come if we don't do something now. Also, the review process for this, we're looking at every 6 months to reassess whether we're going to stop this policy.
So will this take place for 6 more months for certain, and then they will reevaluate, or could it actually go, you know, go away sooner than that?
There is a possibility they're putting the 6 month number out there, though. So unless we see big, significant drops and change, I wouldn't expect that. No.
Yeah. One of the things that by not carrying the entire press conference, we were sort of deprived of the fact that this is a huge community effort. They went to a lot of, you know, small businesses, big businesses, individual, you know, social equity concerns. I mean, it is a spread out basis for support. Now, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people unhappy with this as an infringement on their rights, but there seems to be a lot of community support for this, at least at this press conference, and we'll get more details
in,
later.
In King County. Yeah, and I asked the governor's office today, are you going to follow suit? Should we expect that? He said last week, apparently, that they are considering it, but there is nothing for sure.
Yes. And in fact, one of the ironies is that Seattle and King County we're one of the best counties in the state for vaccinations. And yet, instead of saying that, well, okay, so we can kind of take it easy, instead, the opposite is the case. Dow Constantine, I think, put it that it's because we have such high rates that we don't even have to consider something like a lockdown. Instead, we can just do this cherry on top approach to restrict access to large and small entertainment in a restaurant and bar situation. So, okay, there's plenty to talk about this. Hannah, we'll look forward to coming back at 5 to dissect this in much more detail. Thanks for standing by. Thanks, everybody. And we'll let Hannah take off, and we'll...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Tom and Curly Show. Tom Tangney here, John Curly away, Sherry Elliker filling in. So in case you are just tuning in, the big news story of the day locally here is that King County, including Seattle and the King County Health Officer, just announced that by October 25th, most areas of entertainment outside of 500 people or more, so all the sporting events, and indoors, you will need to have proof of vaccination or proof of a recent negative COVID test in order to enter. It goes into effect October 25th, and it's clearly going to raise the profile of King County in the country's sort of stance toward dealing with the COVID vaccine controversy. We will be talking in depth with Hannah Scott at the 5 o'clock hour. So I think we'll move on to another story that both Sherry and I found unbelievably intriguing. Even though it has no local ramifications, the story itself is so crazy. There's so many twists and turns that we thought we'd be doing a disservice to our listeners if we didn't bring it up. It involves somebody named Alex Murdaugh, who is unknown, I would assume, to most of us here in the Northwest, but he's apparently a very high-profile attorney in South Carolina. A lot of people know him. He's incredibly sort of almost a celebrity status in terms of the legal profession in that particular state in South Carolina, and some really awful things have been happening. We've got some audio to try to start giving this story some incredible context.
First of all, a little background here. Alex Murdaugh, very powerful lawyer, came from a very legally prominent family that was the district attorney for decades in a very rural part of South Carolina. They have a lot of money. And then comes the revelation of his wife and son were murdered, brutally so, on their property back in June. The question was, well, who could have done it and why? Was there a connection to the law passed of that family? And then the next thing you know, Alex Murdaugh had been let go from his own family law firm under allegations that he had stolen millions of dollars. And then on top of that, he also admitted to a longtime battle with opioid addiction.
Okay, so that's just the setup. Here's the next bit.
Okay, then September 4th. After all of that has come to life, he says he's changing a tire at the side of the road due to a leak, and some man pulls up with a pickup truck, talks to him briefly, and then shoots him in the head. Well, now we find out that all of that, what looked like attempted murder, was actually a conspiracy, and that Alex Murdaugh now has admitted to South Carolina's law enforcement division that it was a plan for hiring this man to shoot him in the head to kill him, so that then he could have his family collect on the life insurance. I'll just read this brief statement from SLED in the arrest warrant. They say Mr. Murdaugh provided a statement to SLED admitting to the scheme of having Mr. Smith, that's Curtis Smith, murder him for the purpose of his son collecting a life insurance policy valued at approximately $10 million. The plan unraveled, of course, because Alex Murdaugh did not die. He wasn't killed by being shot in the head. Instead, he was taken to the hospital and he was released 2 days later.
We're listening to CNN's Martin Savage recount this tale, and now more questions remain unanswered.
So he has now apparently admitted the insurance fraud scheme to law enforcement, but the question on everyone's minds is, if he lied about something like this, could he also be lying about something as important and as tragic as the deaths of his wife and son?
And then, just to complicate things even further, they're now looking into the death of his housekeeper. There was a housekeeper in the Murtaugh family for two decades who had a trip and fall accident, and she died. When they decided to look at the announcement of death, the cause was deemed natural. As someone said, you don't naturally die if you trip and fall, and so there's even more murder suspicions on his plate. Now, none of this may be fair to him, except for the fact that because of his admission that he was staging something so dramatic as his own death as a kind of a way to avoid suicide, voiding the insurance payout to his son, it's gothic in its overtones to me, Sherry. Just an amazing possibility to look at.
Right, and as they would say on an infomercial, wait, there's more. Apparently, right. in addition to the trip and fall murder, there's also a young man by the name of Stephen Smith. They didn't go into any details about that, but he also has some sort of suspicious death. And his son Paul, who was murdered with the wife, was involved in a boating accident back in 2019 where he killed a young woman who was 19 and he got charged with boating while intoxicated. So the list of things that are going on with this family is just unbelievable in terms of just the amount of death and destruction and horrible stuff that's happening. One thing that I thought was interesting is this man that was accused admitted that he conspired to kill him. He was charged with assisted suicide. Does that seem odd to you? I mean, it just seems like a weird charge to me, assisted suicide, because it wasn't really, he didn't die. But the whole thing is just convoluted and twists and turns. And you just wonder, what are they going to uncover next about this family?
It just shows you the depth of, I don't want to say depravity, because I don't really know how much maybe his addiction played into it, but the depths to which humanity, you know, can go under extreme circumstances. To me, I found this story incredibly compelling when I first just heard the surface, which was what? Well, this guy arranged for his own murder because he wanted to protect his son, and he didn't feel like he could do that because he had a lot of financial difficulties coming down the pike, the kind of the self-sacrifice that a father would make for the son. That to me is a rich enough topic for a book or a movie or, you know, an in-depth magazine article. And instead, that just barely scratches the surface. We'll be following this, obviously. It's got TV movie written all over it, if not a major Hollywood production. But there's so much potential. And of course, none of this other speculation make turn out to be the case. It might be that he was so depressed by the death, the murder of his wife and kid and his housekeeper and everything else that this it's all about the opioid addiction. But right now, investigators see this as a wide open case. So at least now, if you hear the name Alex Murtaugh, you'll know what's going on. There's a nice kind of a sauntering music introducing our show.
I feel almost like we're a little tropical, huh?
Yes. Well, I guess this is a good music. By the way, you're listening to Tom and Curly Show. Sherry Ellicott filling in for John today. This is a pretty upbeat, lightweight story. So maybe that's more appropriate. That kind of I don't know what would be, not even Hawaiian, but just sort of this relaxed feel. And that is something that has been announced, and we just wanted to take note of that, that the All-Star Game, the baseball's All-Star Game, which hasn't been here since 2001, is coming back to Seattle in 2023. Larry Stone, a longtime sports reporter and now columnist for the Seattle Times, did a really nice piece talking about how the timing, at least the way it looks, could not be better. Right now, this, Sherry, I don't know if you follow baseball at all or if you're deeply steeped in it, but the Seattle Mariners have been lousy for a good 20 years, ever since, in fact, as Larry Stone points out, literally that year, the 2001 year that we had the All-Star game, was probably the zenith, the height the Mariners had ever risen to. We had the most wins of any team in history, tied with the most of the 116 wins and all that. And ever since then, no one knew it at the time, but we were in a decline. We started to decline the very next year. And he says, isn't this perfect? This year, the Mariners are doing better than I can, than recent memory. I think we came within a game or two of the playoffs a few years ago with Felix Hernandez. But basically, right now, the fact that we are still in the hunt for a wild card position this late in the season is truly remarkable and wonderful. And Larry Stone says, if we stay on the kind of pace and show the promise that we have this year, in the next 2 years, we might be again at another zenith, and it would be a perfect celebration. He's convinced that baseball, Seattle is a baseball town. It's been tough to be a baseball fan these last 20 years. And he says he thinks that given how the record crowds we had back in the day, that this will be a harbinger. And as he says, like all baseball fans, all sports fans, you can always dream, you can always hope that maybe baseball's best to come in Seattle in July of 23. That moment will have arrived. It's fun when we get kind of the big national tribute. Now, obviously, it'd be better if we could win a World Series or be able to host a few World Series games. We haven't gotten too close to that. So we here in Seattle are quite excited, especially those of us around long enough that we can remember it. We realize an entire generation has been born and grown up in the time since the Mariners made the playoffs. How excited are you?
I am. I think it's great. And I think that the All-Star game might be the good luck charm that the Mariners need, because let's face it, that happened 22 years ago, right? So it's possible that maybe it would have happened 22 years ago. So maybe this is the year, or that's going to be the year that they bring it home and you get the whole enchilada. The All-Star game, they do great. Everybody's happy.
That would be fantastic. We've hit a little bump in the road. We had a big homestand. We didn't do too well in the last, six games. But still, we're not out of it yet, and that's good enough for us right now. And maybe in 2 years we'll be celebrating. In fact, you ought to come on out and go see a game with John and I. Then that would be terrific.
If we really are that good. Having lived in Baltimore, the Orioles were, quite a big deal until they weren't. So I do understand that.
Baltimore at least has had a few great seasons in its historic belt. We've never been there, but still something to look forward to, and no one can rain on our parade just yet. Except maybe Tracy. I know, Tracy, you're a big baseball fan. How excited are you about this?
Bad news at all times. I know. I'm sorry. I hate being that person, but I am.
Throw the best birthday party ever that your child will always talk about. Big Air Trampoline Park inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall can do just that. Award-winning birthday party packages start at just $300. And all birthday parties include pizza, drinks, a party room with a party host, grip socks, printed invitations, and all 40 attractions at Big Air Trampoline Park. It's a birthday party you and your kids will never forget. Book your party today. Big Air Columbus, where the fun never ends. Visit BigAirUSA.com/Columbus for details.